Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahant. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. I am your host, Ava Muhammad, and welcome to Elevated Places. It is such a blessing to be with all of you again, and today is April the 17th, 2014. Allah sent some final flakes of snow, perhaps final, I'd say final for the time being, to remind us that we can call them seasons or whatever we want, but he is not limited to what we think spring is.
That's right.
And he can do what he wants when he wants to the extent that he wants. And so we had woke up the other morning, and there was a blanket of snow, and like I said, I felt like I was in one of those sci-fi movies. And but then I said, all praise is due to Allah. So it is a great blessing again to be back, and it is wonderful. Again, we are on Elevated Places. Call us tonight. You are going to want to get in this conversation because we are dealing with absolute reality tonight. We are moving, as Minister Farrakhan teaches in the study guides, from theory to application. You're going to need your notepad, or I should say your iPad, or your notebook, or whatever it is you use to take notes, because this is going to be a teaching tool for you. I'll talk about that shortly. But in the interim, the telephone number is 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. I am also delighted to say that Elevated Places is streaming live right now in Waterloo, Iowa, WKBOL 101 FM. Also, on Sundays, right here in Chicago, I do a broadcast version of Elevated Places on the great legendary WVON, the Talk of Chicago, the third largest market in America. And that is a radio station that dates back to the struggle for liberation and is responsible, among other things, for the election of Chicago's first black mayor, Harold Washington, also instrumental in getting President Barack Obama into the White House through the powerful outflow of black voters in 2008 and again in 2012. So you can get me there if you're in Chicago, 1690 AM. You can get me WVON.com streaming live, and then you can just download the iHeart app onto your smartphone or your tablet and listen to WVON anytime, any place. And I had a couple of brothers and sisters tell me that the cities and areas where they live, there's absolutely zero black talk radio going on. And so after hearing my show, they just started listening to WVON throughout the week. So it's a great, great blessing. I am so pleased, as always, to be joined by my fabulous co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. And also, Dr. Ridgely is standing by, our Minister of Agriculture, and I want to thank him up front for tonight's show, because I grabbed it off of his show. I was blessed to get an invitation from him and his beautiful wife, Sister Ann, to listen in on Saturday, and what I heard just rocked my world. And I said, "Oh my God, we have to do this, do a remix on Thursday." And our guests, who are also our family members, were gracious enough to agree to join us. So before we get into that, Brother Terrence, as always, you know, he keeps us up on what's going on. This is a man on the move, Brother Terrence. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, we're on the move, and you know, one of the things that I just want to know, and I also want to thank Dr. Ridgely for what I'm going to give a report. We just want to let everyone know that, you know, Dr. Ava is the national spokesperson of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and since she represents him, then we want people to know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is an international person who listens and travels the world. So we don't just limit ourselves to what we may say or those may see just in the doors of the registered believers in the Nation of Islam, but we're out there in the community where everywhere our people are. So there's a lot of things that we wanted to share tonight where believers are in the community, actively engaging in the community and doing things, and there's a lot of work that we're doing. So there's a lot of people out here representing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, so you can see the fruits of his labor as you're listening now to Elevated Places, one of his students, Dr. Ava Muhammad. So as we're going tonight, you can check her out, and you can see her live this Sunday. You can go on right over to Chicago at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. This Sunday, she will be speaking live from the national headquarters, Mas Mariam, so you do not want to miss her. You can hear her tonight. You can hear her Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, and then you can also hear at 4 p.m. Central on WVON. And then there's another mighty brother coming out of Memphis, who also been in Philadelphia this weekend, our brother Dimitric, who's been on Elevated Places. He will also be in Philadelphia this weekend at the great Top of the Clock Mosque number 12, Student Minister Rodney there. You want to go check that out. And up and coming, that Fire Bolt and his wife, Sister Terry, Brother Nuri Muhammad, next weekend will be in number 15 in Atlanta, Georgia, with our brother, Student Minister, Brother Sharif, doing our relationships and talking about family. And as well, we have another brother, Brother Hashim Muhammad, who's now just touched down in D.C., and our student captain there, Brother Aaron, gave him love, the presidential treatment, because Brother Hashim is one of those stars and jewels in the nation that helped get the Final Call newspaper out to the people. He has a new book out giving instructions on how to get the Final Call to the people, and it's a skill and it's an art, and he has a love and a passion to do it, and selling that wonderful paper, the Final Call newspaper. And you can go to digital.finalcall.com, digital.finalcall.com, or just regularfinalcall.com, and get your copy of that newspaper. And be on the lookout for our sister Akilah out of Houston, Texas. She's working on that new album, a sister who has righteous conduct, righteous dress, and some righteous good music. So she's coming out soon with some good music. And we want to thank the brothers. You need to be on the lookout in L.A. At New is doing a performance coming up this weekend. They already got Russell Simmons coming. Snoop Dogg is coming to their performance, as we saw a beautiful and magnificent performance they did at Savior's Day. Also,
Snoop Lion.
Sir?
Snoop Lion, please.
And Brother
That's
Jesse.
True. Snoop Lion.
The Lion. Oh, Snoop Lion. Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I apologize. Get it correct. Snoop Lion. I didn't hear what he was saying. Snoop Lion, as he went down to Jamaica, as we will be going to Jamaica for Holy Day of Atonement. And also our brother Jesse Muhammad will be in Charlotte, North Carolina this Saturday. The Twitter Army is on the move, talking about that 2.0, Teachers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, promoting that. And so we have a lot of work going on. We have a lot of people, as Dr. Ava said, that's going to be talking, as I mentioned last week, about our brother and the believers in Houston dealing with breast cancer work, the breast cancer walk. We're going to be talking about healing this Sunday, Dr. Ava. We're going to be talking about cancer and the recovery of that process. But I would charge all of those, as we had the Twitter army going, I would challenge all of those young brothers and sisters that are coming up in the Nation of Islam, or even our Christian brothers and sisters, we want to hear from you. So tweet Dr. Ava at Dr. Ava Muhammad. We want to hear, what has Islam done for you, or what has, I would even ask, what has Christianity done for you, or what has righteous living done for you? We want, you know, I put out there, as some of the sisters have done, the Cover Girl campaigns on Facebook, where all our sisters put on their covering and show the world how beautiful they look in their covering, not just at the mosque, but during the work week and everywhere that they go out into the community. I would challenge people to start Facebooking, Twitter, Instagram, videos of what Islam has done for you, so people can see the beauty and that magnificent lifestyles of this wonderful teaching that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But we know now it's Easter weekend, so we're going to not just talk about the Bible and resurrection, but we're going to talk about an Exodus. So we're getting ready to get right into our show. We're going to talk about a wonderful real-life 2014 Exodus that has happened in our nation. I turn it back over to you, Dr. Ava.
Well, thank you for that power-packed report. And I see, you know, we're coming alive in the Nation of Islam.
Yes, I see.
Moving about, finally.
Yes,
well, you know, the Quran teaches us that not only do we have to overcome difficulty, we then have to overcome ease.
Right.
And
right.
It gives us instructions on what to do to develop ourselves during peaceful times. And thanks to the work of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his powerful, not only his spirit, but his intellect, and mm-hmm. the fact that he is backed by Master Farrad Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he has maneuvered through so many minefields. And we've been very blessed over the last three decades that we really have not been engaged in any major confrontations, and certainly not the type of events that the early pioneers of the Nation of Islam had to suffer through, you know, but we're going to get our day, and so
right.
we better prepare for that, and that leads me to tonight's guest and subject, which really absolutely falls under the subject matter of Minister Farrakhan, the time and what must be done. And Brother Dr. Ridgely, I hope I do this correctly in terms of the introduction, but I'm going to have you, I know you won't hesitate anyway to jump in and correct any errors.
That's right, that's my job.
You know, shyness has never been, I've never been accused of that.
At all.
At all. I've never heard anyone accuse you, ever. Why didn't Ridgely speak up?
Ever.
No, not nice.
But, so, on the line tonight, we have two beautiful, beautiful believers in the Nation of Islam. And as I said at the top of the show, I was blessed to hear the program, Ministry of Agriculture's program that airs on Blog Talk Radio every Saturday evening. And this family of believers is headed by a couple, and they're both on the line tonight. They're joining us. And this is what they have done and are engaged in doing. They are from Oakland, or at least lived in Oakland, California, and they have moved to Bronwood, Georgia. So you see, Dr. Ridgely cast his bread upon the waters, and after many, 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 many days
and moons,
found
it returned to him. You see, and I think this is the beginning. It's happening now. And
okay.
So this family of believers moving from the West Coast to the rural South to support
Come
community
on.
building near Muhammad Farms in Bronwood, Georgia. And our family of believers that we're going to be talking with consists of 5 registered members of the Nation of Islam. Now, look at this. Their age range is a half century, from age 32 to 83. You have our husband and wife, Brother Carlton and Sister Majida Muhammad, and they had already started and maintained a community buying club in Oakland, California, called Your Market Produce Buying Club, and they ran that from May of 2009 all the way to the end of 2013. Sister Wilma, who is 83 years old, energetic 83, and she's an inspiration and strong supporter to the group. You have Sister Melva, who is such an expert in food dehydration and preservation. She's called the queen of food dehydration and preservation. And then Sister Jennifer, who is a mathematics teacher in algebra to pre-calculus in junior and senior high school. She also bakes, and she is a seamstress. So, see, we're seeing the lessons now coming to life. Minister Farrakhan said, theory, then practice. And so it is a pleasure, and I want to give the greetings to Sister Majida and Brother Carlton. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava.
It's a pleasure, Brother Carlton, and also Sister, Majida, I closed off her mic. Let me get her back on here. All right. Now, I know Blog Talk isn't doing this to us again.
I'm here.
Well, I want you to get
there
started.
She go.
Are you there? Are you on? All right. That's
I
what
am.
I'm talking
Thank
about.
You.
They heard
it's
me
there.
Hissing
Thank
at
you.
Them.
Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum salam. Whenever we start moving on a deep level, we get these little technical issues.
Oh, yes, we do.
So, Sister Majida and Brother Carlton, welcome to both of you. It is a pleasure to have you on. And I was so overwhelmed with what I heard on last Saturday that I asked Dr. Ridgely to reach out, and, of course, he did. And here we all are. And so, Dr. Ridgely, I'm really going to turn this over to you to conduct this discussion, and the believers are starting and callers are starting to line up already to talk with this couple, but I'm going to give this to you now.
Okay. Well, assalamu alaikum. I'm not going to speak long. I just want them to go over a few things they went over Saturday night, in particular the Brother Carlton, how he decided to make this decision to move, and also Sister Majida.
Yes.
I thought that was so powerful how they went through this process of self-evaluation to make this decision. So I just kind of turned it over to them, for them to talk
All
about
right.
how they made this decision.
Praise so that's from one end of the country to the other.
That's
3,000
right.
yes,
miles.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, first I'd like to say thank you very much. First of all, thank Allah and His messenger representative for giving us a field to work out in. If it wasn't for the grace of Allah and for His messenger and their representative, we would not even have a field to work out in. So thank Allah. And then second, thank you, Dr. Ridgely, and also you, Dr. Eva, for having us on. I must say it's kind of awkward. I'm so used to being on the interviewing side on Blog Talk Radio. It's going to take me a little getting used to be the interviewee. So,
yes,
if you can bear with me. Well, I first got exposed the Ministry of Agriculture through the Millions More Movement in the Ministries. And I saw that as such a liberating opportunity for the everyday believer to make their mark in the Nation of Islam, in addition to what our regular work is or our standard work is for the Nation of Islam. The minister, from my understanding, gave us an opportunity to start building a real, honest-to-goodness nation, not just a nominal nation, but an actual nation. And if you look at other nations in the world, they have ministries. So I took that seriously. The next thing I did was I looked to see what was most important and what was getting most neglected. And at least from my vantage point in Oakland, I couldn't see much more important in terms of the ministries of us being able to have food. And at the same time, that was pretty much being neglected. I didn't see anyone saying that, okay, we need to start doing something around the area of food. And that's how I got involved in the Ministry of Agriculture. And after I got involved in the Ministry of Agriculture, we worked approximately 6, almost 7 years. And we got to a certain point to where, well, at least from my point of view, I looked at the progress and I wasn't happy with the progress we were making. Yes, we were affecting the lives and we were touching lives and changing lives by having fresh produce available at discount prices and making it convenient for those who participated by having the club get the food for them. I wanted much bigger things. The goal for the Buy Club was to be a member-owned cooperative co-op store. However, we seemed like we were far from the mark, and no matter what we did, the progress didn't look good. So taking Dr. Richie's advice and his description of one of the problems we have, he says that we're spread out all across the country. Those who want to work hard in agriculture or in this ministry, there's some hard workers and some dedicated supporters. However, we're scattered. And so looking at that, looking at what I want to achieve for myself in terms of the Ministry of Agriculture, I made the decision to, or I talked to my family, and we made the decision that it was time for us to really step out in faith and pick up and move and go out on faith and go to Brownwood where we can be a help to Dr. Richley, more so a help to Dr. Richley, and also allow Willen meet and be close in close proximity with other believers who feel as strongly about the work of the Ministry of Agriculture as we do.
Okay,
Sister Majida. Yes, sir. Sister Majida?
Yes, I'm here. You know,
all right.
I mentioned to my husband, you know, last time he spoke, you know, I'm sitting and I'm listening to him speak on his why, and you know, I just get caught up in that because
yes, ma'am.
You know, it kind of mirrors, and just hearing, you know, the sincerity and how he had to look within to see what his productivity was, you know, as a person. And that's something that we all have to do. I think about Dr. Ridgely's writing where he talked about the mathematics of movement and what it takes to get people to move from point A to point B. And even just to sit down with yourself and look at what it is you're doing. And like he says, what is your vision for the future? And then what is it going to take for you to get there? And I think as a family, that's pretty much, as my husband said, that's what we did. We looked at our progress, and we did have a measure of success with our buying club and building the community. And I think that was one of the
right.
biggest things that we learned in having that buying club. One, you know, just our level of consistency, doing it regardless to the turnout, whether we had a large turnout or whether we had a smaller turnout, you know, at that event, you know, just the consistency of doing it, because there was this group, started out large, and then it broke down to those that were serious about participation in the buying club on a regular basis. And what I saw in that was just the strength of that little community and how they supported no matter what, how they wanted it and pitched in no matter what. So we just started looking at, and especially when we went to the farm and in Brownwood and saw how hard Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann were working.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
like one of those moments where you look around and you say, well, where is everyone? You know?
Mm.
I mean, they're working hard down here on our behalf. You know, where are the people? So, you know, you start to say, well, you want the people to be here. You recognize it. So what's your commitment first? First, what's your commitment? And it just took that. It took us saying, are we serious about community building, and where would be a better place to start than there on the farm, near the farm, where our family is already there working hard on our behalf?
Oh, that is beautiful. That is beautiful.
Well,
we've got callers. we've got callers lined up already, so I'm going to start kind of going back and forth so that we can get to as many as possible. And I'm just having such trouble opening these mics. There it goes. Okay. Maybe she's on. Is Sister Eula on?
Alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I had saw in the on my email that you were going to be speaking on Cancer Sunday, and I wanted to bear witness to the natural cures that Allah has blessed me to help others eliminate cancer, and the doctors called it a miracle. There was exercise to the point of perspiration, 2 30-minute baths per day, and all organic foods. And the
Thank you for that. And we're going to do a whole show on this next Thursday, following the Mas Mariam and WVON talks. But, yeah, I it's so good to hear people testify to the reality of the effect of diet. And that's exactly why we're sitting here talking about farming, because that's where it begins, is taking control of our food. So thank you for that comment, Sister Eula. And we've got Brother Keith. He's been holding since the show started, pretty much. I'm just having little delays. Okay, Brother Keith, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm
all right. Well, alaikum salam. Welcome back to Elevated Places. You're on.
First, I want to do a comment on this Easter thing. I got to do it. Easter. Everybody knows that rabbits do not lay chicken eggs. And I say what the great teacher, Dr. Clark said. He said the greatest colonization of the white man was the image of God. So when you generalize that white Jesus, you generalize that the white, everything is white. So if this man, white man, is good, every other white man must be good. And to the question to the family, how was it leaving the city, going to the country? Was it a culture shock? Because me personally, I'm going to be real with you, it'll probably hell have to freeze for me to move out there. I stay in the city of Atlanta. I can stick to the urban thing. The country, I'd be about to go crazy. You know, there's nothing to do. Well, you know, I'm just a city person. But I just want to see how did that work out going from the city to the country.
Great question. I mean, and that's, you know, 90% of us are in the city. Thank you for being the one to put it out there.
99.
True, 99.9. Let's just go there. Brother Carlton, Sister Majida, what does it feel like? What is it like, that change, that transition?
Well, Brother used the word culture shock, and for me it was a reverse culture shock. I was expecting to be, you know, a whole bunch of country Caucasian people, you know, who, you know, that had, you know, lack of respect and you know, the stereotypes that us, the West Coast and the East have for the people in the South. And it wasn't that at all. I come from a city, Oakland, which has got a reputation for being a black city, and it pales in comparison to its blackness to where we are right now.
Wow.
Albany, Georgia, which is the closest somewhat large city to Brownwood, 20 miles south, is 77% black.
Yes, sir.
And everyone you see is black. The news reporters, the mayor, the police chief, the police officers. You go in the hotels, the domestic workers, the day workers. It's black folks. And so for me, that was I wasn't expecting that. It was wonderful because I'm like, wow. You know, I come from a city that's supposed to be black, and it's in, you know, here I am, a place where it's black folks everywhere, and I love it. And so there wasn't, it was more like cultural relief for me. So it's a wider field for me to go out and into and recruit the dead. So and then the stuff that the things that people are mostly concerned about in terms of the lack of amenities, the lack of progressive thinking. I mean, you know, we live on a off a dirt road. We have well water, so it's, that's to me, because I work for a living with my hands and I repair homes. That was nothing for me, and so it's really not a culture shock. Once I was able to get some high speed internet, I was cool.
And I guess it goes back to, you know, stereotype and media presentation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By white America that keeps us from being ourselves.
Mm.
Yes, ma'am.
How many indoor bathrooms do you have? You know, people think we got outhouses down here.
Oh.
Yeah, what now?
People think we have outhouses down here. Let them know we got toilets, bathrooms that flush. How many bathrooms do you have in your mansion, brother? It's a mansion, by the way.
Well, Dr. Rich, that's partially true in my case. The toilets weren't flushing properly. I had to do a little work. You know, but now, hey, they work just fine. You know, it's just like anywhere else. And on that note, Dr. Rich, it's like, you know, coming down here, unless you have a lot of money, it's, you know, you're going to have to adjust. And you're better suited if you're not afraid to do things for yourself, or able to find people, you know, to do things for you. And so that's because our family have that pioneer spirit. We're all do-for-self. We're a do-for-self family. That wasn't difficult, you know. And so my wife might have a different opinion, but I think, you know, because of, I think she'll agree that because of our disposition on what we want for our family and our nation and what we're willing to do to get it, there's nothing that could have, you know, that could turn us away from this.
Right, right. And I think you said, did you say culture release?
Yes.
Yeah, I like the way you put that. Yeah, it's not a culture shock at all. Different. I've been born and raised in the city all of my life, so but as my husband would say, I was a country girl at heart. Both of my parents are, you know, from the South, and, you know, growing up in that kind of environment. So, you know, it's really a mindset, and we really have to get into a mindset of what it is that we want. Recently I thought I heard someone say that Minister Farrakhan said, oh God, it just went. It'll come back to me, but it's just a mindset. What do we want, and what's important?
Mm-hmm.
All the conveniences that we're used to, and a lot of that we say they're conveniences living in the city, but a lot of them were just distractions. They were just distractions. And I was in a conversation with one of my aunts. They wanted to hear what our thinking was with regards to this move, and, you know, they want us to sit with them and share our thoughts to see, you know, what our sanity level was. And, you know, I said, you know, we're not thriving as black people like we should. I said, we're living in these cities, Auntie, and we're surviving, but we're not thriving. I said, so
that's
one of the reasons why we want to get out.
Right.
We came to the cities for a reason and a purpose. You know,
right.
During a time, you know, many of our parents fled here for a better life. You can't get my father to come back to the South. I mean, he remembers picking cotton 25 cents a day with his mother from, you know, can't see to can't see.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the cities, they serve their purpose for the time, but now we're not, again, we're not thriving there. We have to come out and build communities for ourselves, among ourselves, so that we can thrive together as black folks. And that's what we want to do as a family. We want to thrive in our community with our skills, our gifts, skills, and talents. We say Allah has blessed me to do so many things. I mean, how will I know if I don't put them to a test?
Right.
I can say that, but unless I allow myself to be challenged in an environment taking me out of my comfort zone, how will I know what all the God has put in? And so, you know, we stepped out on faith. You know, just the drive. I didn't even know I can drive that far, that many hours in the dark and in the light. But it was like, this is what we have to do. So this is my part, and I'm willing to do it.
And, you know, to the point of our people leaving the South, and not only, even if we say for a better life, the reality is they left the South to live, to stay alive.
Right. Right,
because we were being slaughtered,
yes,
in the South, and we were dying. If we weren't being outright hung from a tree or burned at the stake, the quality of life was so deficient that death was coming in infancy and childhood, and you know we considered people in their late 30s to be elderly. That's
right.
How poor our health was, and it's going to take people like Dr. Ridgely and you all and others to regain that land, which will in turn change city life, because the cities that we live in are the enemy's cities, and they don't reflect anything of our original thinking. They're not the type of cities that we are meant to have in the hereafter. And since those cities for a period of time will be right here in North America, there's going to be some dramatic change in city life, and that's why we're looking at Detroit. But the first thing, that as you all are saying, that we have to look at is food, because of all the topics that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad could have written on. You know, he didn't come out with a book on sociology or law. He came out with a book called How to Eat, to Live.
Yes, ma'am.
Two of them. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, so this is powerful. Let's go to Sister Jamila, who is waiting on the line. See if we can get her mic open. And she has a comment for us.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Welcome to Elevated Places, Sister Jamila.
Well, thank you, Sister Ava,
yes,
and Dr. Ridgely, and Brother Terrence.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to let you all know that you will be getting another family member down in Brunswood as soon as possible. As a matter
of
fact,
Dr. Ridgely,
I will be traveling down there this coming Friday to talk with Dr. Ridgely and his wife Ann to see what different things we need to discuss. So I'll be leaving Akron, Ohio, moving down there in about 2 months.
Hey!
Hey,
and I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm so anxious to meet my family.
I wish
ma'am,
I had that.
I'm from Lakeland, sister.
Audio
this is Sister Ann. Okay, so you say you will be here on Friday?
I mean, me and my brother will be leaving Friday, and we'll get down there on Saturday.
Okay. Do you know what time? And see, this is why Dr. Ridgely and I encourage people to please contact us. We're on the phone, but the two of us do a lot of community activities also when time permits, because we call on these community people to assist us in our efforts. So the one of the chapters of the NAACP in a city where he soldiers every other Saturday is having their annual banquet, and they always expect us to be there. And I know that's where we will be on Saturday. Do you have any idea what time you're talking about?
Oh, well, I'll be down there for about 5 or 6 days.
Okay, well, just give us a call here at the farm. Just give
I
us
sure
a call.
Will.
And we
sure
can
will.
Figure out what is the best time for you to come.
Okay, yes, ma'am. I'm so Beautiful. Excited.
We're excited, too.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing, you know, Brother Carlton and Sister Majita, you know, this wasn't the first time they came down here. You know, they didn't just move
yeah.
blindly.
Yeah, I'm glad you
They came
that.
Down and they mapped out the place and mapped out a plan. So
yeah.
that's a very important thing to do.
I'm so
and
glad
also,
you pointed out relocation. You got to look thoroughly at where you're going.
Mm-hmm. And while I'm on, this is Sister Ann again. On his last visit to the farm in 2006, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told me personally that help was coming. And I tell Sister Majita when I see her all the time that
yes.
you all are my help, that
mm.
Allah have promised me. And
no
I say
pressure,
that
no
because
pressure.
There are so many things that I have put on the back burner as
mm.
far as there's a big field here.
Yes.
This is a big field. And my background has been since age 19 is community activism. And
mm.
I couldn't move here. Even though the work on the farm is very strenuous, I feel like I have to be in the community in some way. So I've been working in the community. There are a lot of things. I've discussed this with Sister Majita and Brother Carlton before now, that when they get really settled in, there are a lot of activities that we are going to immediately be involved in. I'm in the process right now of writing a grant where we're going to be doing a, you're going to pick up again on your buying club, where we're going to be doing mobile markets in the communities that need to be served with fresh produce. So there are a lot of things that you all are coming into that are going to be a tremendous help to the work that we're trying to do here on the farm.
Praise
also,
God.
When I learned that Sister Majita and her daughter were seamstresses, I've been a seamstress since age 13, have a sewing room stacked from floor to ceiling with fabric that I never have time to do anything with. So I'm just looking forward to us just being very, very enterprising.
Right,
and
that's right.
I just feel great that you all are here. And to address the person who asked, you know, was it a culture shock? Well, Dr. Rich is from a city. I'm from a city not as large as Oakland. One of the things I thoroughly enjoy about this country life is the solitude.
Yes, ma'am.
The peace, the quiet, the uninhibited travel, you know, on the roads. When I first got here, there used to be sometimes we would see one car a month on the street where the farm is. Now,
wow.
now we may see, what, 3 or 4 in a day.
And then white folks move all around.
And that's a lot of traffic for us, 3 or 4 cars per day.
Yeah, it's white people moving all around us. It's amazing. We are the black Muslims. Everybody know we the black Muslims. I walk around in all type of black stuff. They moving. We got to fight them off. They want to put trailers on the farm to hunt. They buy property all around us. I mean, you know, black folks, please move in here before white folks take over.
That's
awesome.
Dr. Ava, this is awesome. Yes,
Dr. Ava, I just wanted to jump in and say, you know, one,
sure.
I just love, first, just a point of reference. I just love the love between the couple that's on our show tonight, because just
yes.
to hear Vegeta listen to her husband say, "Wow, what did you just say, honey?" I mean, just the interaction that she just, you know, it's almost like they newlyweds. Like, she just profound about, you know, what he said, I mean, I just love that. So I just want to say that as a young person, that was
Allah.
That's just a beautiful
praise
spirit just to see that relationship that you have. Like, you know, y'all, it's like, wow, did you just say something? It's like you're learning something about him that she just, you know, she just having a wonderful time over. That's a beauty just to see that. And then I think the other piece that was brought up was that, you know, brother said you have to have the mindset to do for self. And I think the very powerful statement he said when he said that is because everyone that's in the city has everything catered to them.
Mm.
So you don't have to think, you know, as far as your shopping, your food, go to the grocery store.
That's
everything
right.
is there, your entertainment. You don't have to think about it. You just got to choose what's already described and set up. Choose your radio station. You got to make music. Music is there for you. You got to make a movie. You go to the movie. So there's all this entertainment. So people don't want to leave the city because then they will have to do it for themselves. They are wanting to be catered to. So when you go out to the farm or you go out into the country, you have to find, you have to invent, you have to use that creative mindset. Because when I grew up in the country, I didn't have toys. So my father had a woodshed because he's a general contractor, and I made my toys. I made tree houses because I wanted to. I made paths in the wood, so that creative force made things. I didn't have to buy it; I made it, and that's where that creative mindset comes
wow.
from. So even with the sewing that you're talking about, the garments that's going to come out of it, and you're not tampered. You know, even in the hip hop world, the music world, sometimes artists have to be excluded or cut off the radio, so they're not. They're not tainted by what's on the radio, so they don't want to sound like what's on the radio. So when you have fresh music, it's because they're not trying to sound like anything else. So when you're in solitude, you have all of that creative power to come up with ideas, to think and be clear. So that's the beauty of it. And just to see that the family are coming. And the last part, you know, on Study Guide 18 that we're following now, it talks about rising above emotion and how far you have to wait on the faith of God and the trials that you have to go to. And when you go to a certain point, then God will send you the help. And that's what Sister Ann is saying. She is now seeing that was the minister, and his words never come back unfulfilled. She is now seeing what his words have said. Her help has arrived.
Wow.
Well, you know, one of
wow.
my favorite teachings from Minister Farrakhan, illustrations he gave in one of his lectures years ago, that Allah already knows what we need, of course, before the need even manifests itself, but he doesn't give us what we don't need. And the example he gave back then was the sperm. You know, that when 200 million sperm are released and all headed toward the goal of the egg, and having to go on an uphill struggle through a field of acid, okay, and only the sperm that get beyond a certain point are provided with a tail. And immediately, some sperm just die, others just lay there. You know, instantly you have a reduction because of the difficulty of the task. But the value to the victor is life.
Yes.
You know, that ultimately your prize is you are going to evolve into a full-fledged human being, a god. But at that time, they don't have the level of knowledge to know what it is on the other side of that. So a lot of them just pass out and give up. And only those that get to a point where they're going to have to make that swim, that's when they grow the tail so that they can get up there. But he doesn't. They don't just all automatically have it. That's the point. Okay, and so I was thinking about that when Sister Ann was talking, that she and Dr. Ridgely, they had to evolve and go through an incredible difficulty for a long time.
Right. Yes,
you know,
right.
And now, you know, you got the dripping water before the flood. You know, so you got two, then you got five, and then somebody calls and says, I'm coming. And then
right.
hearing, you know, Brother Carlton and Sister Majita, then, okay, now we're moving into the realm of feasibility. Because
mm-hmm.
everybody can't catch the vision.
That's right.
You know, most people can't catch the vision. They have to hear another person say, look, you can do this.
Right.
Okay, I did it. And this is real. You know,
right.
our connection as a family is our belief.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's a belief system. You know, so
that's
so
right.
this is just incredible. But I'm going to get to Dr. Salam is waiting. I know he's going to bring us some interesting insight. Dr. Salam, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava Muhammad. And to the Elevated family, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad and Brother Terrence Muhammad, and your wonderful guest, Brother Carlton and Sister Radita. I believe I heard you all before when that idea was birthed. Now it has come to fruition, and that is so, so beautiful. What you have actually done is ripped a page out of our study guides that dealt with fear and laziness. You have just ripped that apart, and now you have actually brought life into fruition, and you have actually moved out of a hell of a type into heaven. I call it Ridgely the State.
I love it.
Okay, but, yes, sir.
Yes. But so it was only an obstacle, and you cleared the path. And all an obstacle really is something that stands in the way or obstructs your progress, and or it is something more or less that blocks a passage. So with the lack of imagination, you could not have done that.
Mm-hmm.
You have actually brought that directly into fruition. And what I want to say to believers, this example, I just wish you could just talk about this somewhere on some show every day, because
mm-hmm.
what you have really done is show believers. We have believers that will remove and divorce a spouse, but they would not remove and divorce the fear of being free. And you have actually conquered that, and I'm so, so very proud of you. And I'll leave you with that. I love you. I love what you have done and the spirit in which you are doing it. And you are actually healing and renewing a life-giving teachings that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us. And you're doing it well, and it's simply accept your own and be yourself, which is a righteous Muslim. Thank you so much.
Thank
now
you.
Now continue to Islam. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
Beautiful call.
Well, it's Muhammad Farms, not Ridgelyville.
That was amazing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it is a source of pride for us as well. I'm glad Dr. Salam brought that point up. This is a source of pride for us as believers, and it also brings out, I can't say it enough, the reality of this. I think so many of us are satisfied with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as an idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were in slavery for so long, and Jim Crow and discrimination, and we just became escape artists. You know, we had to. And now, you know, we avoid difficulty and escape difficulty, and the enemy, who is relentless on his post, continues to present distractions, like one of you all mentioned earlier, being distracted by life in the city, and the seeming amenities, you know. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you know, we're so locked in on the white man, and his little cheap life, we don't realize that there is something far superior to this.
Right.
You know, because we have chosen to at least convince ourselves we're satisfied, but you all are doing what we need, which is independence.
Yes.
That's where happiness is.
Praise be to Allah. Dr. Ava?
Yes, sir.
You know, I'd just like to say it's very humbling to get the attention we're getting. I'm sure I can speak for my family that, you know, we didn't think we were doing a real big thing by moving here. It's like a next logical step. And
yes,
to hear everyone give us so much praise and encouragement for making the move is very humbling. And I have to be honest, one of my motivations for moving out here was fear. And as Muslims, we're taught to fear none but Allah. And that's exactly who I was afraid of, because I know I have certain gifts, skills, and talents. I know that I wasn't working as hard and doing the work that I need to be doing as much as I'm doing. And so I say, okay, Carlton, you know, if Allah decides he wants to end this thing now and you get judged, of course you'll fall far short. But are you doing everything you need to do? And so I said, no, I'm not. So what do I need to do? We need to do something different and get ourselves in an environment where we can, as much as possible, exercise our skills and our abilities as much as possible.
Mm. Yes,
right.
Sir.
And like Brother Terrence said, have that opportunity to be in an environment for creativity.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Be able to, I mean, because when we look at what the Caucasian is able to do in rearing his children and getting them in the kinds of environments where they can concentrate and focus on their gifts, skills, and talents and what they want to do, whether it's rulership or ownership or whatever, but it's to have that environment to where they can decide on what it is they want to do, where we're constantly playing catch-up or you know, just trying to maintain or barely maintain this, that, and the other. You know, being here by the grace of Allah gives us an opportunity to have the kind of environment where we can use our creative mind to help bring things and put them into place. And I like what the doctor said when he said that it's a healing and a renewal. I've often said to my husband, I said, when we read about the accomplishments that we have, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was among us, we talk about all the things we were able to accomplish, and we look at what we're striving to do now. I said, you know, we have to do things to take away the impossibility in our own minds. We have to prove to ourselves as believers
mm-hmm.
that we're that same Muslim that can accomplish what we will. We have to. Otherwise, you know, it's just stories of the ancients,
mm-hmm.
as they say.
Right.
We have to prove to
exactly.
ourselves, our own minds, that we are the Muslims that will bring into fruition, with Allah's help, what we need. We have to do that.
Well,
yeah,
I want a wife like that. I want to marry somebody like that.
Look, I can hook you up. I know who she is. I can hook you up. Don't worry about it.
Yes,
I got you.
And I'll tell you, I love listening to this, too. And you know, like with my husband and I know Dr. Rizzi and Sister Ann, the concept of help meet partner is so real. And there's nothing like believing in the same God.
Yes.
And being in the nation of Islam, to believe in Master Farad Muhammad together with your mate, I mean, the strength that is in that is immeasurable. It's off the charts. I've always felt sympathy for people that were in unstable situations, you know, where there was confusion and disagreement. And God knows, my husband and I, we're both master debaters, and as we're the most opinionated people on earth. Oh my God, you know. But and we debate all day, but we're, you know, it's beautiful.
Right.
You know, because we're rooted in the same thing, and we both talk at the television, and you know, we're so dissatisfied with this world. I love that he's even. I didn't think there was anybody more dissatisfied than me, you know, with America. Until I met him.
Age me through a lot.
You know, outside of Allah is Christ, you know, the leader is. But I'm just saying, just as I said to myself, my God, I'm extreme. You know, I'm radical. And who am I going to find? And then I met him. I'm like, oh my God. But listening to the two of you I'm with Brother Terrence. This is joyful. Oh my God,
right.
I love it.
Praise.
But marriage should be institution building. In other words,
that's
you're looking for some type of purpose other than just having babies. You want to build institutions for those babies and for the community. It is a partnership.
And there's no better place than that in the country.
That's right.
Mm.
Amen.
And Dr. Richard told me one time before that the ministry should be set up for, that's where the singles retreat should be, in the ministries, because you find your mate within the work.
Right.
So why are you over here in the ministry of arts? I mean, you know, you're over here in trading company, but you working over here on the farm. You're in two different fields of operation, going in two different directions. But when you're on that role farming, you can understand the pressure. You can understand the work. You can understand the heat and the sweat and the buzz because you both in the work together. So you have an affinity one another because you're in the work together.
Come on. Well, listen, I got Brother Victor waiting, and he's opening up his mic. Brother Victor?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Welcome to Elevated Places. You're live.
Yes, ma'am. Well, actually, you have myself and my wife, Tamika.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Wa alaykum as-salam.
And we were very excited. We were excited to hear our brother Carlton and Sister Majita is on the show tonight. My wife and I, we regularly listen to the show. We follow you on Facebook.
Do you used to live in Oakland?
Yes, sir.
Praise to
Allah.
Great. Here we go.
So we are really inspired. You know, scripture came to my mind from Philippians, let this mind be in you the same which is in Christ Jesus. And we were sitting here thinking about how this is the mind of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I was thinking to myself that Brother Carlton and Sister Majita is actually showing us the practical application of the thinking that we have in order to be operating in a time of what must be done. So it's really encouraging to us as a couple. We had just finished our dinner. We were sitting here listening and enjoying the show. And we're just really excited. Sister Ava, I've always wanted to say something on your show, but I've always been a little reluctant. But Brother Carlton and Sister Vegeta tonight gave me that extra courage I needed to actually say something tonight. And I really want to thank we really thank Allah for all of you, Dr. Ridgely, Sister Ava, Brother Terrence, all of the wonderful guests that call in. We're really thankful to have a show like this that is bringing us together as a community. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be another migration going on. We're all going to be headed down that way pretty soon.
Praise be to Allah.
Praise
be to Allah. July 4th.
Oh.
July 4th is Founders Day.
Great call. Oh, my God. I had this image of Sister Ann and, you know, hiring people at the gate. You know, people are going to need passports in a minute. You're going to need your Nation of Islam ID.
Well, you know, it's like this.
It's
going to
be
a massive thing,
I'm telling you.
Well, we're going to have Founders Day July 4th, 5th, and 6th here at the farm. You go up on NYMOA.
Yes, sir.
The schedule is up there. But, you know, everybody does not have to come and move to Bromwood or to Muhammad Farms to develop community. But just the idea of it being done here will give people the impetus
absolutely.
To do it in other places. There's places all over the country. There's ways to be taken over. It's just to get some people together who've got a mindset of taking over, not going looking for something, but going to bring something. And they can get together and talk and find places, and we can just take over America. America because it's their way to be taken, because there's no more juice anymore in America. There's no more ideas anymore in America. These people are dying, and their spirit is dying, and we're dying with them because we're looking for them for guidance. We just got to get ourselves
That's
together
right.
with those people who want to do something, and let's make something happen.
And you know that how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said Allah will make you separate. And you know,
wow.
I was just reading earlier this week. Of course, I'm witnessing it living here in Chicago. There have been 12,000 black teachers fired from the Chicago public school system in the last 4 or 5 years. 12,000 teachers, many of them with 20 and 30 years of experience, okay? And I say that to Dr. Ridgely's point of America dying. And as she dies and as the enemy is losing, you know, like that witch in the Wizard of Oz just started melting, you know, and went out screeching and making these horrible sounds. You know, there's nothing in America that seeks atonement. So it's a very violent, horrific sort of death that is taking place. And by us continuing to stay up under her and be around her the way we are, especially in the cities, and living this degenerate lifestyle, It's achieving Satan's goal of making us completely unappealing to Allah. And as you know, Dr. Rizzi talks about all the time, that's all he's got left is to take as many of us with him as he can, because he's going. He's gone. He's out of here.
That's
but
right.
it's this type of move, the reality of it's like hearing you all say to Allah, well, we accept the gift. We're coming. We're getting off
right.
the Titanic.
Right.
You know, and it's not necessarily leaving the confines of the continental U.S. initially. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
So, like Brother Jibril teaches, we have to separate from them within here first.
Right.
You know, so that we can become acceptable to God.
Mm.
Wow. Yes, ma'am.
Because right now we look, act, think, talk just like the enemy.
Go ahead.
So he don't want a black devil any more than he wants a white devil in his world.
Right.
That's right.
All right. So we have. Okay, we had Brother Victor. We got Brother Joseph. Brother Joseph is calling us. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Joseph.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava.
All right.
Yes, ma'am, and I want to give the greetings to the rest of the family that's there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I was listening to the show and listening to the Brother Carson, if I'm not mistaken of his name.
Brother Carson, yes, sir.
All right, and his wife. Congratulations on y'all move down here. I'm right here in way in the deep south, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yes,
all right.
Sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm loving every minute of it because I'm not just here by myself. I got a God down here with me, you know.
That's right.
And we are. I'm a remodeling contractor down here, and you know, and my work can pick up tremendously. So I know by y'all moving to that part of Georgia, I'm gonna have to make my way out there because I know they got some things need to be fixed up.
Come on.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
You got a whole community to build.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, ma'am. So I just want to congratulate everybody and Dr. Wrigley, Ashley Lau, me and Brother Lewis down here. I know we're going to be coming to the Fathom today in July and so forth and so on. So y'all keep up the good work, and I'm right here. If you need me, I will jump in my van and my truck, what I need to do, and bring my tool down here and get busy.
Thank you, brother.
Praise be to Allah.
I thank you all once again. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, sir. Beautiful.
Yes, just a spirit of community.
And Sister Ava, before we go any further, I don't want to forget, and I apologize to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan if he is listening, because we're talking about Exodus and moving. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be speaking this Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern. He will be speaking for the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, Revitalizing the Reparation Movement with Honorable Dr. Ralph Golis and Honorable Jim Conyers. This will be at 2 p.m. sharp Central time at Chicago State University. And I just want to make sure people knew that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be speaking, as I said, this Saturday from 2 p.m. Central and 3 p.m. Eastern, and you can go to the website IBW21.org, IBW21.org, to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I say that because since he is the messenger of God, he's always in tune, and we're talking about reparations. I know with the reparations comes and land, and this will tie right into what we're talking about today, because one of the things Minister Farrakhan talked about when he was doing the Indaba, you know, we got to be careful in the reparation movement asking for checks and dollars, because they have a reparation Lexus, a reparation Mercedes that is a reparation depreted with no value. And as Dr. Ridgely is saying, the only thing that is real is real estate, and that's land. And that's what this family is doing, getting land so that we can now start. I mean, actually, the Exodus is building wealth, because now we have something tangible instead of a Mercedes to pass on. We have land that can be passed on to our children that will have substantive values. And if we teach our children how to use the land, then they can produce that out of that land and gain more value, because the land can sit and just keep going up and up and up in value.
Yeah, and we're extracting that. We're starting to extract that $1 trillion that we generate in this economy so we can speed up that fall. But we've got Andrina is on the line, and she has a comment. I'm trying to get her mic going. Sister Andrina, are you there? Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam, Dr.
All
Ava.
Right.
And it's a privilege to be able to speak on your show. You are a blessing, and Dr. Ridgely and Sister Anne are a blessing. And I had a comment and a question. I listen to both shows regularly. One of the blessings of listening to Dr. Ridgely's show is hearing Sister Anne, because she represents and what she talks about what we're striving to be as MGT. She cooks. She's working the land and helping Dr. Ridgely, and I just learned so much from hearing her. And I'm wondering if my husband and I, we live in an urban area, and I just think about how the city pulls. So there's so much of a pull for a woman against, like, it seems like it pulls us away from being who we're supposed to be, because
yes.
Everything is about becoming something in an office, becoming all these things that pull us away from making our own curtains and our own clothes, from cooking, you know. And it seems like the time in the city moves against our nature. It moves against us. It seems like the day is over once it's begun. And the things that we want to develop, like patience, it seems difficult to learn patience from the city, but in the country, and in my mother's from Georgia, and so she was a very patient woman, but I find that I'm not. And I wonder if it's because of the environments that we live in. They're not patient environments. My view of patience is waiting for a train. That's 5 minutes. That takes 5 minutes to get there.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's not real patience when you're waiting for a crop to grow. But one of the things that I wanted to ask was, my husband and I just had a conversation with someone who said, well, I don't want to live down south because there aren't any opportunities. And I constantly hear that. And I'm wondering what your thoughts, all of your thoughts are on this concept that our people have of opportunities. There are more opportunities, apparently, allegedly, in the North than there are in the South or in places where there are land and where there's harder work.
Mm. Okay, let me tell you about opportunities. This is Sister Ann.
Yes, ma'am.
And this may sound very simplistic. I take, occasionally, I will take a garment to the dry cleaners, but most of what I make myself is something I can usually launder myself. And I remember last summer I took something to the dry cleaners, and this black woman that we know, all she knows us by is Abdul. That's all she put on any ticket we take in for dry cleaners. So she asked me, she said, your clothes are just so different. Where do you get them? I said, well, I make them. She said, you know what? We need somebody desperately to do our alteration. Set your price. You make all the money, and we will send you all the business. Well, on the farm, I really don't have the time. Now I've got helpers. There have been other opportunities like that. And you talk about patience, and I tell my husband all the time about blessings that came my way while I was out. Patience. I've learned to have patience to the degree that I don't get upset in long lines. I don't get upset if people are seemingly slow. I was in the fabric store just a few weeks ago, and it seemed that it was taking them forever to ring, well, Walmart here, you know, they've taken the people out of just being there in that craft section, so you have to ring a bell. I just pick up the phone and call service, and they call on the intercom and get somebody to come. Well, when she finally got there, she had something else to do, and she finally got to me, and when she rang me up, she said, you have just been so patient that I can let you have everything on this boat for one, and it was a very low price. I came back and told my husband, I just got a good blessing.
Awesome.
And I know that was because I was just so patient. And that has happened to me more than once.
Mm.
More than once in stores where I just patiently wait. And then when the person finally gets to me, it's something that they will do out of the ordinary for me as a customer. And that's only because of the environment that you never rushed.
Mm-hmm.
We drove to Atlanta a week ago, and it was just, you talk about mind-boggling. I used to do that all the time before I came to the farm, but now, you know, it's just like, you're constantly on edge, where
yes.
Here in the country, you get in your car. We don't ever hear sirens, ever, 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 ever. When I go to Macon to visit family, it seems like that's all I hear all the time. I'm that siren.
Macon.
If you hear a siren here in the country,
wow.
You get in your car and the whole town is going to be there to see what is going on. And I can't wait to take Brother Carlton and Sister Majita and the family to the first local city council meeting. My husband laughs at me because I just love it. I just love old town living. I was at one city council meeting, and one of the council people was late. So the mayor, black mayor, had a black mayor ever since we've been here, changed it over. There have been three different black mayors all the while we've been here. So the mayor said, is she coming? He said, Kelly, go to the door and holler down the street and ask her, is she coming to the meeting? So that's the kind of environment we're in. And big news is, reading about who just got a new riding lawnmower and gave somebody a ride. And I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Well, she's just corny. But anyway, Go ahead. I want to talk about resources and availability of resources. Go ahead, Brother Carlton.
I'll be real brief. In terms of opportunities, sometimes we use opportunity as a code word for jobs. And if you say, those kind of jobs, no, there's no jobs in the South. However, we have lack of stress, we have peace of mind, we have quiet, we have affordable land. So what else do you need make opportunity for yourself?
That's right.
So
that's right.
You create opportunity for yourself with what the brother said in his comment, imagination and creativity.
Mm-hmm. And again, skills. Now, Brother Carlton and his family all come with skills. If you got skills, people have needs and wants all over the world. So
you can
supply a need or want, and somebody will pay you for it. It's like Mr. Ann just said, they need someone to do alterations for the laundromat. So it's not that there are opportunities, but there's got to be somebody with some skills and some insight and foresight to, in fact, make a job for themselves and eventually hire others. We sit spectating on life instead of being gods and making things happen. See what's needed and then supply the need and you get paid.
Exactly. I've got Brother Lewis is on the line calling us out of Louisiana. I wanted to get him in the conversation because, as you all know, especially with a powerful show like this, time is winding down. Brother Lewis, are you there?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
Brother Lewis?
Am I on the
All right. Yes. Yes, you are.
Oh, okay.
You're live.
Thank you. This is a great, great, great historic moment, Dr. Ava, just listening to the show, and I hope that it will go down in the record and that we'll record it, because I know that the spirit is very, very contagious. I'm a little shocked. I didn't think that I would be able to get on tonight. I'm actually deep in the woods. But I just wanted to salute everybody, and I wanted Dr. Ridgely to talk a little bit about Founders Day before we get off the air, and thank y'all all, really inspired by this show.
Well, thank you, sir. And I'm looking forward to coming down there in July. Really looking forward.
Well, we're ready to
start. I heard it. Ms. A said she's coming.
All right.
It's going to be a live studio audience. Dr. Ava Muhammad, Elevated Places in the South. The victims of integration will come out and tell you what has happened to them under integration. But really looking forward to it.
And I just saw last night, it's like somebody in a studio put something on the air by mistake, because they had a description of this program said one thing, but when I went past the channel, I had to come back because there was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at a lecture, and it went right off too. It's like somebody slipped up. That was a lie. And guess what he said? He said integration is a sin.
Amen. Amen.
You know how many millions of people saw that before it went away? Oh, my God. Anyway, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes.
Wow. Well,
Integration is a sin. Those were his exact words.
Well, you know, that was just a message from the mother plane.
Straight up, you know.
Straight up.
I'm telling you, that was awesome. But I just thought of it when I found Lewis, because he's always on it.
Well, yeah, he's always on it. He's going to bring, he's responsible for bringing some entertainment for Saturday. We're going to have some live entertainment for Saturday. But Friday, we're going to have a discussion on the future of Muhammad Farms. We'll do a tour of the area here. And so we want to discuss nation building and community building on that Friday. Then, of course, Saturday, we're going to put y'all out there pulling weeds and picking crops and getting bit by mosquitoes. But we're going to feed you and we're going to entertain you and so forth. So, but go to NYMOA.com, NYMOA.com, and you'll see the information about Founders Day.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Lewis.
Thank y'all so much. Looking forward to seeing you.
Okay. Yeah, that was fantastic. All right, we're winding down. I'm going to take – I got one more call I can get to. We have so many. Okay, we got Sister Joella out of Washington, D.C., where I will be in May.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava.
Assalamu alaikum.
And the rest of the family. It's a blessing hearing everyone on the air, and including Sister Ann. And all praises
isn't that
due
great?
To, all praises due to
yeah, we pulled out tonight, didn't we?
I'm telling you, and you know,
talking
we
y'all
have,
talking to me for once.
And you know, it's just a blessing that we have the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, who's still guiding us, and the honorable Minister Farrakhan, who just talked and told us to go ahead and purchase that farm. And as I was looking at the calendar, and April 4th was when the farm was paid off. So, Dr. Ridgely, you could have that picture there where you, that picture of the brother, I think, Arif, handing that owner the check and his face and how he looked. I think that would be a lesson. So all praise is due to Allah for you all staying there on the farm.
That's
and may
right.
Allah
That's
continue
right.
to
yes,
bless
ma'am.
Us. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, yeah, that was a Kodak moment. That was Brother Minister Rahman giving the check to the former owner, and it looked like somebody spit on his mother's grave. And he said, money, what can I do with money? The worst thing I ever did was sell y'all that land. I mean, it is definitely a Kodak moment. You could not have made that picture up.
Yes,
and look
yes.
at what he said. What can I do with money? See, we
right.
need to
wow.
play. We need a clip of that for all black people to hear,
right.
you know, because we're giving our lives away for dollars, for some pain.
Right.
That's and here's
right.
a white man saying, I that was a mistake. I must have been drunk or something. What happened? You know, these Muslims put a spell on me.
That's right.
That's right. You didn't like it at all.
It's amazing. So
I had to go
as
get him off the
tractor
to come and get it. He wasn't even at the closing.
Well, he couldn't take it.
He couldn't take it.
I wanted Brother Carlton and Sister Majida to give us some final comments to the callers and listeners, to anyone that's considering a move. And even if you weren't before tonight, are you not happy with what you're doing? Because maybe now an idea has been presented to you that you may not have considered. So,
no,
Brother Carlton, Sister Majida, yes.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to be real brief. I'm exceedingly happy. And I'd like to say for those who are listening, you may have a desire to help. If you coming to the country and to the farm is not for everybody. And if you want to help the farm, start a buying club in your city and grow that buying club into a community-owned corporation store. And you'll be helping us. You'll be helping other black farmers. And you'll be a part of what we're doing. And for that, I want to say thank you, Dr. Ava, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, and Sister Ann. And I'll let my wife go ahead and make her comment.
Oh, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you all so very, very, very much for the opportunity to share the experience that we're going through as a family. And thank all the callers for their words of encouragement. It really helps us. I would just want to encourage everyone to start thinking about living together in community. You know, that's our strength. You know, we have to learn to come together. And even if you're in the city, start learning to live among yourselves in community. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And Dr. Ridgely, Sister Ann, Brother Terrence, Sister LaDonna, did I say Sister, Brother Carlton and Sister Majida, and that whole family coming from, that came from Oakland, and of course the whole Elevated Places team, Sister Rona, Brother Bobby, Sister LaDonna.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places
and
with Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Bless us to move forward with our
be
experience.
Sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing
for a brand new world.